Jacksonville.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. President Biden is calling for greater public resolve to help the nation deal with the fierce storms, flooding, and wildfires that have beset the country. Louisiana swelters as crews scramble to get the power back on, and dozens of deaths are mourned along the East Coast in the wake of Hurricane Ida. Details from correspondent Tim McGuire.
Some power is back in parts of New Orleans and Louisiana, while others have to wait. In Queens, Assistant Building Superintendent Jason Jordan and others tried to rescue a woman trapped behind a door held shut by the rising water.
She was screaming, "Help me, help me, help me." We all came to her aid, trying to get her out, but it was so strong of the water, you know, the thrust of the water was so strong, we could not peel the door back.
Close to four dozen people died in the flooding and tornadoes caused by the remnants of the storm from Maryland to Connecticut. I'm Tim McGuire.
President Biden is paying a visit to Louisiana today to get a firsthand look at the devastating impact of Hurricane Ida. Also on SRNNews.com, a government official says Poland will temporarily host some 500 Afghan evacuees who would work for NATO in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, Air Force General Todd Walters, who heads U.S. European Command, says the screenings and relocations of refugees from Afghanistan to the U.S. is proceeding at a good pace.
We're about to become in a position to where we're going to process about 500 or 600 in every day, and we're probably going to have 2,500 to 3,000 to depart every day. And if that continues in perpetuity for the remaining time, we'll be in good shape.
Fire crews are taking advantage of decreasing winds to battle a California wildfire near Lake Tahoe, but dry weather and a weekend warming trend mean the battle is far from over. On Wall Street, Dow futures are ahead by 58 points. NASDAQ futures are up by 18. This is SRN News.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning, I'm Jerry Lederman. Emotions about mandatory masking in schools on display Thursday night at a school board meeting in Clay County. Masks are encouraged but not required there. The discussion got so hot that police had to remove one parent who argued masks should be required to keep students and staff safe. Others argued it's their right to decide whether or not their kids should cover up. The board eventually voted to keep its voluntary policy in place. Meanwhile, Governor DeSantis says he will appeal a court ruling that took away his ability to ban districts from mandating masks in school buildings. A multi-vehicle crash on I-10 has left a Jacksonville sheriff's deputy injured. It happened near Chafee Road South Thursday evening when a semi-truck rear-ended the deputy's marked patrol vehicle. Investigators say the deputy was changing lanes to get to another crash on the shoulder at the time. She was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Two people in a third vehicle also involved went to the hospital with minor injuries. That driver's charged with not having a valid license or insurance. The trucker's charged with causing the wreck. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
The radicalized left, which is the Democrat Party, tried to, quote, kill the king twice and failed.
America First with Sebastian Gorka, weekdays 3 till 5 on WBOB. Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
We still have that slow-moving traffic, and that left lane is still blocked on 95 headed north. And traffic is backed up between Hurlong Road and 103rd Street. You're going to add an extra 12 minutes. That's 295 headed north between Hurlong and 103rd Street. You'll add about 12 extra minutes. If you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Overcast for much of the day. Showers by the afternoon. The high will be 83. Right now, 73 degrees. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new report by Brown University estimates the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, and Syria will have cost the U.S. $5.8 trillion by the end of 2022. Several Republicans in the U.S. House are calling for the impeachment of President Biden over his handling of the Afghan withdrawal. And some moderates in the Democratic Party tell their leadership to hit the pause button on President Biden's $3.5 trillion spending package.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600.
or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Yeah, as long as I don't have to get approached by police and news reporters. Roger and Ed are in.
Yeah, we both need to get some new baseball caps, though.
I need to get some new baseball. I don't wear a lot of baseball caps.
I need to wear one every day, starting next week.
So anyway, all right, little inside joke. We're talking about the Cheryl RN, whatever her name is, trying to give you a vaccine.
A mask exemption.
Mask exemption.
Give it to the principal at school. Your kid doesn't have to wear a mask.
Interesting. So.
And hand her a $20 bill.
5 minutes after 7 a.m. Hey, it's Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, the three fastest hours anywhere in morning talk radio. A lot of news to get to. Let's start off right now, right here on Talk Radio, WBOB. More calls for the impeachment of President Biden over Afghanistan among the U.S. House. But some of those in the U.S. Senate say it's not going to go anywhere.
Among the House GOP, growing calls for the president to resign. But the top Senate Republican, Mitch McConnell, says President Biden will not be impeached, and the ballot box is a better place to hold him accountable.
Still, other Republican senators want accountability now. 25 members wrote to President Biden saying while they disagree on whether troops should have remained in Afghanistan, they're all in agreement President Biden's chaotic withdrawal caused this crisis.
Fox News, Jackie Heinrich. A new study by Brown University's called the Cost of War Project have done a total amount of cost to the U.S. taxpayers of almost $6 trillion of the wars that have been fighted over in Afghanistan and in the Middle East, and the cost could go up by the end of next year.
$5.8 trillion. That's how much the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, and Syria will have cost the U.S. by the end of 2022. That estimate comes from the Costs of War Project at Brown University. It also includes all of our debt from the war. Both Afghanistan and Iraq were paid for through borrowing.
Reporter Emily Grossberg. The issue dealing on spending, we talk about it every day, the $3.5 trillion spending package, some call it human infrastructure as well, but one of the moderates, depending on what week you want to look at it, Joe Manchin from West Virginia says that his party leadership should hit the pause button because of the just absolutely too much spending out there. The Washington Examiner, Sarah Westwood, says that according to some polls, it could hurt the Democrats in 2022, what's inside some of these bills.
A Democratic pollster is warning that Democrats could endanger themselves politically if they try to pack the reconciliation bill with too many left-leaning programs. Former Obama pollster Joel Benenson told Axios that data shows voters tend to become skeptical of spending bills that get too overloaded with unrelated items.
The issue dealing when it comes to vaccine mandates is now heavily moving up inside the sports world as more mandates are increasing. But yet, according to Fox News, some of them are being inconsistent on who is being mandated to get the vaccine and who isn't.
Inconsistencies on vaccine regulations in the world of sports have led some to walk away from their jobs.
Instead of complying with the Washington Nationals mandate that calls for all non-uniformed employees to get vaccinated against COVID-19, 73-year-old baseball lifer Bob Boone is resigning from his job as senior advisor to the general manager. He's worked with the Nationals since 2005, while former world number one tennis player Victoria Azarenka said Wednesday it's bizarre that spectators at the U.S. Open must show proof of vaccination, but not the players. NBA players on the New York Knicks, Brooklyn Nets, and Golden State Warriors were told they would have to comply with local laws in New York City and San Francisco. That'll soon go into effect. That call for anybody who will enter a large indoor structure like an NBA arena to be vaccinated unless there's a medical or religious exemption.
Fox's Jared Max.
With all the chaos going on at the border along the southern states, there is something that is a glimmer of hope to some out there. Border wall construction is actually starting back up in some areas under President Biden.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is actually going to be restarting border wall construction down in the Rio Grande Valley, a 13.4-mile stretch. Apparently, this coming after a lot of blowback and pressure from local residents and local politicians. What we're being told is priority repairs on that stretch of the wall will be done within 6 weeks, and then the construction of a concrete levee wall and the rest of the safety barriers on that wall will be done between 6 and 9 months. But this is a big deal because keep in mind, Joe Biden halted all border wall construction when he took office. In
Fox News, Bill Malugin. Coming up on 9 minutes after 7 a.m. Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Nothing has changed. We still have that slow-moving traffic on 295 headed north, right between 103rd Street and backed up past Herlong Road. If you're in that, you're going to add about 12 extra minutes. 295 headed north between 103rd Street and Herlong Road. Add an extra 12 minutes since that left lane is blocked. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SEEF.
Overcast for much of the day. Showers by the afternoon. The high will be 83. Right now, 73 degrees.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
I believe there is no better system of giving than that which is in Scripture. Our tithe is the minimum that we should do for the advancement of God's kingdom. Even if there were no scriptural grounds for tithing, it would be the most reasonable thing that we as Christians could do in light of God's infinite grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. We have been entrusted with the gospel, the grace of God for the good of the world. That is the foundation upon which our stewardship, our giving, our tithes, our offerings should be built upon. God tells us, "Them who honor me, I will honor."
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Nolan Ryan has just pitched his seventh career no-hitter.
Hi, I'm Nolan Ryan. This is my wife, Ruth. We drink LeBlue bottled water every day. LeBlue is the purest, best-tasting water we have found anywhere in the market.
Our bodies love LeBlue, and yours will, too.
If you want to hydrate like a Hall of Famer, ask for LeBlue Ultra Pure Bottled Water by name at your favorite retailer. Or go to LeBlue.com to have it delivered to your home, your office, or your church. That's LeBlue, LeBlue.com.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Governor Ron DeSantis' administration says a federal judge should dismiss a lawsuit challenging a new gambling deal that will allow the Seminole Indian tribe to operate sports betting in Florida. The August jobs report comes out this morning. Economists expect around 722,000 jobs were added to the economy. And a Rasmussen poll finds 52% of likely voters believe President Biden should resign over the Afghan withdrawal.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Among the House GOP, growing calls for the president to resign. But the top Senate Republican, Mitch McConnell, says President Biden will not be impeached, and the ballot box is a better place to hold him accountable.
Still, other Republican senators want accountability now. 25 members wrote to President Biden saying while they disagree on whether troops should have remained in Afghanistan, they're all in agreement President Biden's chaotic withdrawal caused this crisis.
Fox News' Jackie Heinrich. So let's get this straight. There will be no impeachment of President Biden over Afghanistan unless something is really, I mean, President Trump got impeached for less, I would admit, for a phone call that they just totally blew out of proportion. Having said this, whether or not, hey, the perception is, hey, we're telling the Afghan leader, hey, the perception is whether or not the Taliban are taking over or not, you need to change the perception. Okay. That's not worthy of impeachment, folks, okay? It's not going to go anywhere. It makes great political fodder. It drums up the base. I'm here about real issues. It's not going anywhere. But, of course, if the GOP takes over in 2022, you will see more investigations. Hey, and by the way, I don't blame some of you for what the Democrats did. You just turn around and do it to them. That way, then maybe they don't want to pull this nonsense anymore. 713, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio, WBOB. Well, Ed, there's a Rasmussen poll. Well, wait a second. Some of you tell me you didn't believe polls before, but now you believe this one. 52%. Now, Rasmussen's got a decent poll sometimes. 52% of likely voters believe that the president should resign over Afghanistan. 60% some that should say that he should be impeached. According to the numbers, if you buy into this, and that's fine, we report the polls and we report the numbers. Many of you decide and what your stance is, that according to these latest numbers, 75% of Republicans think that he should step down, 48% of independents, and 32% of Democrats. Interesting. If those numbers are accurate, 32% is kind of an interesting number.
Yeah, that's something to look at. You know, but Rasmussen, you know, I was mentioning earlier, I kind of take it with a grain of salt because typically when they do the presidential polls, they're about 3 to 5 points ahead in favor of the Republicans based upon what the returns come out to be, with the exception of maybe Donald Trump's election.
The big issue, of course, coming up in Washington is about whether or not they know they're going to get a $1.2 trillion infrastructure package. You can thank Republicans for that, by the way, unfortunately. Now is the $3.5 trillion spending package. Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia, Democrat, says they need to hit the pause button on all of this as the spending continues to go through the roof.
We've got $6.3 trillion proposed by the administration in the first 100 days. But on top of that, remember, we got a budget that's underway. We got $3 trillion of mandatory spending, $1.5 trillion of mandatory spending. So in this fiscal year, if he gets his way, we will spend $10.8 trillion. This is just an amazing explosion of federal money.
That's Karl Rove, former Deputy White House Chief of Staff. But when you talk to the Democrats, it's just, it's no problem.
Yeah, just money.
We'll redo the follow-up for a second.
We have lots of ink and paper.
Yeah. Jerome Powell's just got the printing thing going, dude. Let me just set this up. We deal with numbers. The facts that we represent on this radio show, not opinion. Sometimes the opinions are accurate, but the facts are indisputable. Here's the facts. Democrats know nothing about math. By the way, I'll throw a few Republicans in there. I gotta be consistent here. Mm-hmm. But the Democrats, when they come out and say, well, the $1.5 trillion, the $1.5 trillion tax package by the 2017 Trump tax cuts, that ballooned the deficit. Wrong. See, well, Ed, the Trump spending, let me just set this up. The first 2 years of the Trump spending were not even close to the Obama spending. Okay. Trump should have done something about the spending, but didn't. COVID popped up. I don't agree with a lot of the spending that happened, but yet the same Democrats that want to throw Trump under the bus, these are the same liberals that supported all the COVID spending.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, just got to be consistent here.
Political opportunism is
right.
What it is.
But they act like Trump blew up the deficit with a 1.5 over 10 years tax cut. Mm-hmm. But yet you got a $1.2 trillion. Well, that just eliminated most of that Trump tax cut if you want to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Or talk about deficit spending if you want to include that as well. Then you've got the $1.9 trillion spending of the stimulus, the early stimulus in March. Then you've got a 3.5 that got watered down from a $6 trillion. Mm-hmm. And then we've got other proposals taking place. And you mean to tell me there's enough money out there? Oh, yeah, Ed, we just tax the wealthy. How about you tax all the millionaires 100%? Guess what? You still wouldn't have enough money to take care of all the spending now and the spending that you want to do down the road. But here's the big question, Raj. Can the Republicans sell this? Host a special report, Brett Baer. Now the House Republicans are all in favor of the earmarks, i.e., pork barrel spending projects.
House Republicans are reversing their self-imposed ban on earmarks, the practice of letting lawmakers add pet projects to spending bills. The vote comes ahead of their consideration of various spending legislation. Democrats already have reversed their own self-imposed ban.
You said something in the first hour. You are 100% correct. If you got a military bill, don't be using education for school choice inside a military bill. Keep the military about the military.
Typically, it's not school choice that's in that military
I know,
though, but it's usually something like,
I'm giving you an example.
You know, human infrastructure, whatever that means.
Still trying to figure that out.
Right.
Guy Benson from townhall.com says the Republicans, they're going to have to convince voters if they get asked this question by Democrats. Well, wait a second. When did you guys become born again hard when it came to the issue of fiscal spending?
When the Republicans are going to stand up and call for fiscal restraint, which I think is going to be necessary as we just the trillions get bigger and bigger, if they try to band together and link arms, say, well, hang on, these trillions are unnecessary, or these trillions aren't related to COVID necessarily. Let's debate that separately. How are Republicans going to convincingly communicate to the American people that they have refound religion
right
on debt and deficits when very few of them seem to be talking about that in any sort of compelling way?
I think Guy Benson's got a great point. Now, if some of you are going to come out and say, well, we had a pandemic and, well, really? So we spent money and asked questions later. Okay. I'm just telling you, this had been a Democrat that spent all amount of money last year. Republicans would, man, let's just keep putting something on the fire to keep this thing burning.
I understand. I get it. Sometimes emergencies do happen
that
you don't anticipate. This is why you don't blow the budget when there's not an emergency going on. And unfortunately, year after year after year, when we don't have a pandemic and we don't have a 9/11, Congress continues to blow the budget on everything you can imagine. And then we have an emergency and we have no emergency fund.
And by the way, you don't think, now COVID cases of Delta, depending on the states, but they say overall has gone down, at least the last week in Florida, thank heaven above. Having said this, if you don't think that they want the Delta cases to go up, because this will give them an argument to spend more money. And then Nikki Free can hold out fake political stunts and, well, I need a moment of silence for those that have lost COVID. Wait, why did you do it this week instead of last week? Well, because she needs money. It's for fundraising out there. Here's a story from Brown University. It's called The Cost of War Project. The report says a total of $5.8 trillion will have been spent by the end of 2022 of the wars in the Middle East.
$5.8 trillion. That's how much the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, and Syria will have cost the U.S. by the end of 2022. That estimate comes from the Costs of War Project at Brown University. It also includes all of our debt from the war. Both Afghanistan and Iraq were paid for through borrowing.
I just got one more break to take, right?
Yeah, before the news, yes.
That was Emily Grossberg. Let me just tell you this. If there's a populist movement going on, and Obama played it, Trump played it as well, this doesn't sell with taxpayers. Now, you don't have to, I'm not a fan, I was not a fan of President Obama, but he sold it and people bought it, and there was some credibility with it. When you are spending billions to trillions over there, and then we find out at the end, of course, hey, all this amount of weaponry over there, why couldn't we spend the money over here? I'm telling you, that argument, by the way, Trump used it as well. That argument sells with voters. All right. Real quick, let's go to, and that's the key word, quick. Let's go to Adele. Hey, Adele, good morning.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, what's happening?
Good, man.
Not much, not much. Hey, listen, I don't know if you guys have been, you probably have, but if you notice that since the situation in Afghanistan started, Newt Gingrich, which is a politician with a lot of credentials, came out and is actually suggesting that Biden does not have the mental capabilities to rule the country. Here's what's happening. I'll make it a short story. They're trying to prepare the grounds. They don't want to impeach Biden. They want to wait until 2022 so that the Democrats can muscle him out to put Kamala Harris. That you have to remember that presidents can be presidents for 10 years. If they push him out now, she won't be able to get reelected after 4 years. In other words, she'll finish Biden's administration, then she'll get her administration, she gets elected, but she won't be able to run for re-election.
Who's got worse numbers than President Biden? Take a wild guess.
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know. I'll leave it to you. But I'll tell you this. You said something a couple of days ago that I wanted to call and tell you that it's true.
All right.
Unfortunately, Americans do not get involved in foreign policy. They just don't.
You're right.
6 months down the road,
it's
they'll
sad.
Forget about all this like nothing ever happened.
Adele, I agree with you. You're correct. It's unfortunate. I agree with you. They forget it.
Very, very, very unfortunate, because I can take you back on history all the way to the beginnings of the American history, and I could tell you they weren't so forgetful at that time, but they were more or less the same. I don't know why. It's just a human trait. Yeah. I don't know why.
You're correct. Hey, Adele, be safe this morning. Have a good weekend, brother.
You too, my friend. You too, guys. Be safe.
Thank you, man.
I don't know if that's true in every situation, because I'm thinking about the first Gulf War. You know, we weren't attacked.
You just answered the question. The first Gulf War, 91% approval. 18 months later, he lost. Nobody cared about it.
Well, they cared at the time. We sent troops in.
At the time, he said 6 months down the road. He's exactly correct.
Okay, yeah, 6 months.
I'm just... Six. I was thinking like 3 to 5. He's exactly correct.
Grenada, Panama.
Yeah, by the way, Adele, in the Rasmussen poll, if you want to go... Kamala Harris, almost every poll has got worse numbers than Biden. There is no flipping way they're going to put in Kamala Harris.
I wonder if that's her fault. Is she trying to just be so quiet about everything?
Yes, why not?
Yeah.
Hey, Why say something when you get in trouble, when you just be quiet and not get in trouble?
Maybe she feels she doesn't need to, you know, expend what they call her political capital right now.
She's hanging out
on something controversial.
She's hanging out the same basement Biden was at during the campaign.
Because even if she doesn't get it, you can hire advisors to tell you what to say.
It's incredible. This has been the Trump administration. Oh, my word. All right, 724 Ed and Roger Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Nothing has changed. We still have that slow-moving traffic on 295 headed north, right between 103rd Street and backed up past Herlong Road. If you're in that, you're going to add about 12 extra minutes. 295 headed north between 103rd Street and Herlong Road. Add an extra 12 minutes since that left lane is blocked. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SEAF.
A mix of clouds and sun for much of the day, then thunderstorms in the afternoon. 83 our high, currently 73 degrees.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if I told you you could save a baby's life for just $28? What's true? Preborn is a ministry doing just that with the help of people just like you by offering free ultrasound sessions to pregnant women and girls who might otherwise choose to end their pregnancy. We know that pregnant girls and women who can see their babies on ultrasound are far more likely to choose life. Your gift today can save babies' lives. Just $28 can give a mother who is abortion-minded the chance to see the truth of the baby that is growing inside her. $140 can do this for 5 girls and women. And a $15,000 gift will provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. Whether you want to save one baby or 5 or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call or click away. Call 833-850-BABY. That's 833-850-2229. Or give online, preborn.org/radio.
This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager and host of the Best Stocks Now show. I've been a professional money manager for the last 22 years. I write a weekly newsletter called Best Stocks Now. If you'd like to get a free sample, you can go to GundersonCapital.com. Make sure to tune in to Best Stocks Now on this station.
Tune in to Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson every Saturday afternoon at 2 here on WBOB. And Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on our sister station, Talk 100.3.
Man, I am excited today. Beginning of a 4-day weekend or 2-day weekend. I can't keep up. All right.
Okay.
Was it Monday already? Hey, Bruce, what's going on this morning?
Hey, I think I might have an idea why this bit of foreign policy does make a difference to people with Afghanistan.
All right.
And it primarily has to do with how many military personnel have been in and out of there over 20 years and the impact on families across the country.
Good point.
I agree, foreign policy is kind of boring stuff, but my brother spent about probably 20 years in the Navy, most of it in Afghanistan as a CB. And while he survived Afghanistan, I think the after effects of it kind of played into his what I would call early demise. And I think there's a lot of people that know people that were there, and there's a lot of military people here that are kind of mad about the way this is going. And it's not the foreign policy, it's the human factor.
Yeah, Bruce, I don't differ with you on that. But we're still in a minority compared to the overall amount of voters there that don't think that we need to be there. Bruce, you and I are talking the same language, and all of us here. I'm with you.
I tend to think also, and I may be wrong completely, but I do believe that men in America and in women have a soft spot for little girls who are vulnerable to all types of exploitation that goes in over there.
I don't think so.
Wear a duffel bag over your face and forced into marriages.
Not happening. It's just not the polls, Raj. I'm just telling you what the numbers are.
I'm deeply concerned about
it. I know you are, but you and I and Bruce, we have a higher sometimes expectations, which is fine. I say it as a compliment. Just the average voter, unfortunately, doesn't. I wish they would, Bruce. I wish they would feel that way. All right, more coming up next. Ed and Roger, Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600 and 101.1 FM. The conservative voice of Jacksonville, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Although the weather has improved across the Northeast, many rivers and streams continue to rise. A death toll from flooding caused by the remnants of Hurricane Ida has risen to at least 46. Later today, President Biden will survey the hurricane damage done by Ida in Louisiana. Firefighters in Northern California taking advantage of lighter winds to battle the massive Caldor wildfire near Lake Tahoe. However, dry weather and a weekend warming trend are a big concern. It happened in a supermarket in Auckland, New Zealand. Six people wounded in a stabbing attack by a man, quickly shot and killed by police. New Zealand's prime minister says the killer was inspired by ISIS. Wall Street Dow features up 47 points. NASDAQ features 25 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning. I'm Jerry Lateman. Governor Ron DeSantis is not giving up his push to ban mask mandates in Florida. He's appealing the court decision that prohibited him from imposing that ban, saying it's a matter of letting parents decide what's best for their kids. The Florida First District Court of Appeal in Tallahassee will hear the case. The governor is also going ahead with plans to punish school districts that have imposed a mandate without letting parents opt out. The state's already withheld the pay for school board members in Alachua and Broward counties, two of the 13 counties, including Duval, that have voted to make masks mandatory in school buildings. Emotions about mandatory masking on display Thursday night at a school board meeting in Clay County. Masks are encouraged but not required there. The discussion got so hot that police had to remove one parent who argued that masks should be required to keep students and staff safe. Others argued it's their right to decide whether or not their kids should cover up. The school board voted to keep the policy of voluntary masking in place. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
WBOB is Jacksonville's conservative talk radio station. Start your day with Jacksonville's only local call-in talk show, the Ed Dean Radio Show. Then solve your financial issues with Dan Celia at 9. Inspired by Rush, it's the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show at noon, followed by America First with Sebastian Gorka at 3. Then at 6 p.m., the great one, Mark Levin, rounds out your day. The conservative voice of Jacksonville, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Nothing has changed. We still have that slow-moving traffic on 295 headed north, right between 103rd Street and backed up past Hurlong Road. If you're in that, you're going to add about 12 extra minutes. 295 headed north between 103rd Street and Hurlong Road. Add an extra 12 minutes since that left lane is blocked. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SEEF.
A mix of clouds and sun for much of the day, then thunderstorms in the afternoon. 83 our high, currently 73 degrees. And here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Several Republicans in the U.S. House are calling for the impeachment of President Biden over his handling of the Afghan withdrawal. Some moderates in the Democratic Party tell their leadership to hit the pause button on President Biden's $3.5 trillion spending package. And a new report by Brown University estimates the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, and Syria will have cost the U.S. $5.8 trillion by the end of 2022.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
All right. It's good to have him back with us, our good friend, Eric Eichenberg. Eric, we didn't know who was taking more time off, you or the vice president, Kamala Harris.
don't go there now. Come on.
No, we know you ain't taking any time off. We're just joking with you. Now. You know, I love having entertainment and humor with Eric Eichenberg, who is the CEO of the Everglades Foundation. And, hey, it's good to have you back. Listen, there was a great story. Rod, you like this one. The Daytona News Journal, and we're heard in those markets, by the way, had a great story of the statewide, quote, here's the title of the editorial, the Daytona Beach News Journal, the continued water woes in Florida hamstringing the tourist-based economy. See, this is a huge issue that's not being talked about. Eric, and I know you know this, let me set this up for the audience. They talked about this past summer and spring, the red tide in the Gulf of Mexico, things of other things in Lake Okeechobee, Manatee, Brevard County, Columbia. This stuff wasn't really reported. I didn't see a lot of many things over the summertime in the media.
Well, we've been talking about this now for the last couple of years here. The
right.
issue of these type of man-made disasters, which they are, the number one industry that's impacted is tourism. So there's no surprise here. The University of Florida just a couple weeks ago put out a study working with the Airbnb industry that shows the number of rental nights that decreased, the number of price per night that decreased due to red tide, due to the algae on the coast. So this is not some esoteric, oh, it might have an impact to the economy. This is pure data. It's clear. The tourism industry wants clean water as much as anyone else, and, you know, that's why we're continuing to push for it.
I liked the story because it covered, of course, things statewide. Everybody thinks this is just regional, and you keep
right.
pointing out every week it's not regional.
It is definitely not regional, and if you're in Pensacola down to Key West, we're all in this together, and if there's dirty water or polluted water or algae outbreaks anywhere, the entire state of Florida is affected by it. And that's why we have to have real, tangible solutions to this issue. We have to stop giving it lip service. The legislators on both coasts have to step up, and let's once and for all address the issues and move on it.
Last week, you're hanging out with Senator Marco Rubio, who I think does a good job as the senator here in Florida, on a C-44 reservoir off. I saw the pictures off the St. Lucie River. So tell me, okay, so is this one of these that needs to be redone, or is this a new one? Explain this, because go ahead.
This is as exciting as it comes as it pertains to Everglades restoration. This project was authorized by the U.S. Congress in 2006.
Wow.
2006, Ed, and just last week we were up there. The entire reservoir is completely built. And when you look out across the swath of this land, it is so impressive. You need to come down and see this.
I need to fish.
You get a tangible look to see what happens. They're going to turn the spigot on in the middle of September. They're going to fill that reservoir up. So the whole purpose of this, taking polluted water out of the St. Lucie estuary, stored in that reservoir, but that's not good enough. You then move it into thousands of acres of constructed wetlands that remove the phosphorus, the nitrogen. It eliminates the pollution in the water, and then you're sending that clean water back into the St. Lucie estuary. This is hundreds of millions of dollars that's been invested here. Finally, it's finished. Senator Rubio was there last week to see the final product.
All right, give me a couple of discussions. You're hanging out with Marco Rubio. All right, I like him, okay? You're hanging out with the senator. You're talking about this in infrastructure projects, Everglades. Where does this discussion, do you focus it on, like, one here, or do you try to get as much in? I mean, I know you can see the guy anytime you want, knowing who you are. But I'm saying this is, what kind of a conversation do you have about with all of these things that are maneuvering and also with an infrastructure package?
Well, what the message to to Senator Rubio in particular, and we've had these discussions with him, in order to see what we were able to observe last week, a finished product, from 2006 to 2021, that is too long of a time to finally have something progress and be finished. We want to see these projects expedited to a 5 to 8 period of time, or a 10 year period of time. Not the length that is typical for Everglades restoration. So the message to the senior senator is, as a member of the Appropriations Committee in the U.S. Senate, he has a powerful seat to direct money down to Florida for a number of reasons, but in this case, We need the federal government, U.S. Congress, to step up in a big way, follow what Governor DeSantis has been doing now for the last 3 years. And the great news about it is Senator Rubio gets it. He's fully on board to deliver as much money as he can. That's the ticket here to see progress.
Hey, Rod, did you like that? I mean, he's much younger than Senator Rick Scott, but Rubio's the senior senator. Yeah. Don't you like that?
Well, technically he is. He's been in the Senate for a lot longer.
No, I love it. I love it out there. Eric Eichenberg, the CEO of the Everglades Foundation, is here on our Newsmaker line. When you're having these conversations with the senator here, when you talk about, because I know he's always asking you, because you're a little bit more on the ground, and that's not a put down against the senator, it's just you are more on the ground of realizing what's happening. This, to the audience, is a very simplistic question, but it's probably the same answer I would assume you're going to give. Like, for example, when you talk about the flow, water, Everglades, pollution, all of this, hey, what industries are affected?
Well, when you take water as it's currently managed and you store clean and send that water south, the biggest opponent, they're taking actions even in the last few days here to delay and stall the momentum that we see, is the sugar industry. So that is an industry here that's in the state. They are clearly right smack in the middle of it. And what has happened here, and this is where the governor has said this is his number one Everglades priority, this is the reservoir we've talked about south of the lake. It's not using any of their land. This is using state-owned land.
I love it.
Taxpayer. This is taxpayer. The listeners have to understand, we own almost 50,000 acres south of Lake Okeechobee that the state of Florida leases to Big Sugar. So we're taking the lease expired. They try to pull a fast one, if you remember. But we're taking the lease that expired, ran out. That acreage, 16,000 acres, is now being utilized to build a reservoir on taxpayer-owned land. That project is going to start here soon, and the good news is once that's built, Ed, it is a game changer on the way we manage water in this state. It's critically important. And Marco Rubio, to his credit, last week spent a considerable amount of time wanting to understand exactly where we are in that process. He's a big supporter of it.
Let me throw a kind of a, and I know you're going to knock it out of the ballpark, so Roger, you're like this one. Mm-hmm. Years ago, and we're going back to the days of Jeb, days of Rick Scott, and who knows what the numbers may be, and we're talking real infrastructure. We were told it could have been, and this can maybe a lowball number here, Eric, you know, we're 10 to maybe 25 billion behind of infrastructure. The reservoirs are real infrastructure. When you talk about water purity, the people that drank it, whether you got the St. John's, you know, big argument, St. John's coming in, you know, the North Florida, you've got the Suwannee and some of the more rural districts out there, South Florida, you got the West Coast. When it comes to reservoirs, clean water for, again, this is for the usage for people to have. Here's the question, and you can throw one at me. I mean, to me, how many years in billions of dollars are we behind and trying to keep up with the 21st century?
We're way behind. It's estimated that the cost of all of this has doubled over a 20-year period. So originally about $8 billion. You're looking at $16 billion by the time it's over. And this is the crux of the problem. Look what we're seeing right now on daily life. The inflation rates that are hitting people right in the pocket. When you delay and you don't prioritize,
that's right,
the cost of construction, the cost of supplies goes up. And, you know, I heard before we started the segment that it's cost us over $5 trillion for all of the wars over the many, many years.
Right.
It took the Army Corps of Engineers a flicker of time to rebuild the Mosul Dam in Iraq. If you can do that with under fire, literally under fire, we need to have the same level of attention, the same level of urgency on these projects, because as you just pointed out, the tourism industry, the moms and dads, the folks that have businesses that rely upon tourists, when we have the challenges that we face, it impacts our bottom line here economically. We've turned, the ship's been turned. The ship is heading in the right direction, but it takes everyone moving in that same direction to get this done.
Eric, it's like, hey, you got to get that carburetor fix. Uh-oh, I'm going to wait 4 months down the road, Eric, and it gets worse. That's the point. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly right. What I've said is you've got a patient that's having a heart attack. The mm-hmm. patient is having a heart attack, yet we're worried about an ingrown toenail that's not going to solve the problem. And, you know, for too long we've been on the periphery of all this. Thanks to the leadership of the governor when he took office, we're going to now deal with it from Lake Okeechobee down to Florida Bay, and we're going to move in an accelerated period of time. That's the path we're on, and that's the path of success and progress.
Eric Eichenberg, the CEO of the Everglades Foundation. The website, evergladesfoundation.org. Have a good weekend, my friend.
Thank you, Ed.
All right. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Yeah, when he was going down that route, I was thinking exactly the same. Mm-hmm.
I hear a knocking in my car. I'll put it off.
Yeah, or it's your health.
Mm-hmm.
You need the same thing about the health. He brings up, by the way, to his point, the reason why, and he's exactly correct, the reason why our costs are so expensive, because when we should be working on real infrastructure, we're too busy looking at the Emerald Trail. Really?
Mm.
I got potholes over there. I got to spend how many millions on the Emerald Trail? You like that Emerald Trail? So he's exactly correct on that. All right. More coming up next. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Starting to see some of that usual slow traffic on Butler Boulevard headed east right before San Pablo. You're going to add an extra couple minutes there, and traffic is still slowly moving on 295 headed north right between Herlong Road and a bit past 103rd Street. Add an extra 15 minutes there. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
A mix of clouds and sun for much of the day, then thunderstorms in the afternoon. 83 our high, currently 73 degrees.
Protecting your home is a priority, right? It should be the same for your business. Call Sunbelt Gated Access Systems to add that extra layer of customized security today. They use the latest technology, specializing in fully automatic swing and slide gate operators, access control, and video surveillance systems. Sunbelt Gated Access Systems has provided top-notch customer service for decades and is your best choice in Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia. Visit SunbeltSYS.com. SunbeltSYS.com.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare. And that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. It's because MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge PPO network, so yeah, really, you could save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. If you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number you need. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The August jobs report comes out this morning. Economists expect around 720,000 jobs were added to the economy. A Rasmussen poll finds 52% of likely voters believe President Biden should resign over the Afghan withdrawal. And Governor DeSantis' administration says a federal judge should dismiss a lawsuit challenging a new gambling deal that will allow the Seminole Indian tribe to operate sports betting in Florida.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
All right, let me see. Got a lot of news to get to, but we got time. We always make the time for our callers. That's who counts, right? Nobody wants to hear what I have to say, trust me. Just it's you individuals and Roger. Let's go to Craig.
Craig. Hey, Ed, Roger.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Hey, so the two callers before your last segment, I got to thinking, because I was remembering back in 1991, that was probably my second presidential election, and or when Bush ran against Clinton, and obviously I thought Bush had it because the Gulf War went well and all that.
All right.
And I remember the old economy, it's the economy stupid and all that. But so it got me to thinking that this gentleman was talking about that people aren't going to remember and they're not going to care 6 months from now. And how do we get Biden voted out of there? So the Republicans really, and I don't have an answer to this, I'm not a political strategist, but the Republicans really need to hone in on how to obviously get the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds to vote and not to vote Republican. And those are the ones that aren't going to really necessarily care about what went on in Afghanistan, although I do, and I agree with what Roger and y'all are saying about the kids and the women, and that's important. But when you've got these college kids that are being promised to, hey, we're going to pay for your college tuition, and we're all of those promises that are made to them, how do you capture them and keep them from voting Democrat?
Excellent question.
What can the Republicans do aside from our standard, you know, hey, it's, you know, we're going to grow the economy and we're going to, you know, lower taxes and all that. We've got to figure out, the Republicans have to figure out how to capture more of the younger, you know, 20s and 30-year-olds. You know, that I think that was kind of part of this last election. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just because people love Biden. You know, there was a Trump backlash, and the fact that the Democrats, some of these, like the Stacey Abrams types, they knew how to get out and rally their troops, people that had not voted.
Can I credit you for something? And I'm not saying this to kiss your rear. You just said something. The Stacey Abrams crowd. I want my conservative friends to listen to this because since you had a good question, I'm gonna ask you a question. Give you a few more minutes. So Roger, hold on, because I got Roger. I want to include in this one as a kind of a stump question. STUMP.
Mm-hmm.
Stacey Abrams worked. Many people think, well, we just vote based on their ideology. No, many people will vote for your candidate because why? You knocked on a door. You gave them some ice cream. I know, as bad as it sounds. You related to him. Barack Obama, I never would have thought would have won in 2012, right? But he won because of Mitt Romney. I agree. But Barack Obama never left the state of Ohio, and he never left the state of Florida, where he won in some areas much bigger among some communities, because they never left. Barack Obama had people registering voters at the local library. Didn't say they were with. They had, it was like Obama for America. Then they called it organizing. Mm-hmm. And then what they did was, he didn't know who they were. As soon as you gave the address, they got your address. The campaign's sending you emails going, hey, you know, we're for fiscal. I mean, they just played it well. They had a better ground game. To your point, you nailed it. Stacey Abrams, they had a better ground game in Georgia. Now, what do you think the two issues, Roger, I'm going to start with you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the two issues are? Where younger people, they have been, I'm not saying they're moving in droves, but maybe two issues where the younger generation is moving toward, it's not the biggest issue, but if they're moving towards the Republican Party, give me two issues that they're probably moving on.
Oh, gosh, that is a very, very tough question. I would think that maybe they don't like, you know, what Obama did to their back pocket with respect to Obamacare that's still being carried on, maybe.
I'm talking young, like 20s. Maybe 30s.
The only thing I could see on the radar is I don't think girls, you know, who are trying to get their nails done want to sign up for the selector service. I don't know.
All right. Honestly, no. And by the way, I'm not trying to, it's not a catch-22 because Roger does this to me all the time. And I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, Roger, that's a good one. So no, Craig, if you had to pick two issues, what are they?
This is for the 20-something set?
20, maybe a couple 30s, like me, people in my 20s.
And affordability of college, maybe.
No.
No? Yeah.
Well, and that's what I, you know, that's what everybody thinks. It's the affordability of college. I think it's jobs, and I think it's getting paid a fair price, a fair rate, or whatever. If you figure out, like you said, some of them are, all they're worried about is getting their nails done and having the best cell phone. You know, how do you compete with that mentality?
You know, I agree with you. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. The jobs. Cause I'm just looking at my clock. Okay.
That's okay.
We're seeing numbers change in the abortion community, right? Who are the biggest supporters that are least growing among the pro-life community? Roger, it's been younger people, has it not been?
Yeah, it has.
Number one, and also, guess who's also, it's not the biggest issue, but I heard Bill Maher and other Democrats complain about this from the New York Times, the cancel culture crowd. People are like, what? You want to censor this? I mean, that's another issue. While some of them, I'm not saying they're going in droves, but the cancel culture, the woke crowd, younger people, they're not liking. They're like, man, I'm the Republicans. I'll go with them
because they're all over social media. They're on TikTok, and they're on Twitter.
They canceled my speech on Facebook. Younger people don't like that.
2 years ago, when they were in the ninth grade, you know, they may have posted, you know, something mean about some fat kid. Next thing you know, it's hurting their career.
Yeah,
right.
How about
that's
that?
True. That That is part of it, too, I do believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do believe that's part of it.
All right, man.
All right. Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in 2022 and 2024. But I think Afghanistan will be in there. But a lot of times Republicans, you know, or adults in the Republican or in Democrat, I'll say adults, 40s and 50s, they seem to care more sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I just, and hey, have a good weekend, by the way. I'm just telling you, name me, excluding the Iraq war and the, and by the way, Bush won on foreign policy after 9/11. That's a different story. Barack Obama heavily got a lot of votes because of Iraq, because we lost thousands. It wasn't going that well, and we blew billions, and people are like, hey, I'm in a deep recession here. Mm-hmm. Why are we not spending money? That worked well for Obama as well.
Yeah,
but otherwise, most people just don't care about foreign policy.
Reaching the Republican Party and conservatism, reaching young people is a very tough nut to crack.
Yeah.
Because it's all about, in many cases, relatability. You've got Katy Perry and P. Diddy, you know, saying, hey, vote Democrat or vote or die.
Why are you knocking my people like
that? You
know,
I'm just saying it's going to be a tough one. And so far, the only answer that the Republican Party seems to have come up with is, let's see if we can find someone young, their age group, mold him into the cast of an old guy, and hopefully they'll relate to him, and they just aren't. Old people relate to him, but not younger.
I liked what Trump was doing with the foreign policy, but I have news for you.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't vote for Trump in 2016 because of foreign policy. All right? Just letting you know that. Come, let me see. I got to take a break. Yeah. More coming up next. Ed and Raj, good call. Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
16 whole minutes. And that's how long you're going to be sitting in traffic if you're on 295 headed north, right between 103rd Street and a bit past Herlong Road. Again, 295 northbound, right between Herlong and 103rd Street. You'll be sitting that for 16 extra minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
A mix of clouds and sun for much of the day, then thunderstorms in the afternoon. 83 our high, currently 73 degrees.
I'm Lou Dobbs. Western Union resuming service to Afghanistan. Traffic deaths are on the rise due to speeding. Walmart boosts hourly pay by $1 an hour. Those stories next. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He created the best pillow, and Mike created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 50% off Giza Dream Sheets. You'll receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code Dobbs. There you'll find not only Mike's amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper and so much more. Call 1-800-977-9152. Use the promo code Dobbs. Go to MyPillow.com. Make sure you use the promo code Dobbs. Apparently unconcerned over the death of 13 American service members as Taliban terrorists took over the country, Western Union says it's resumed service to Afghanistan, including money transfers. The conquest of the nation by Taliban extremists apparently had little to no effect on executives at Western Union. Drivers speeding and taking other risks caused traffic deaths to soar more than 10% in the first quarter of this year, despite the fact that driving has declined. Nearly 9,000 people killed in crashes January through March after exhibiting dangerous behavior, including speeding, not wearing seat belts, and using alcohol or drugs. Walmart raising the pay of 560,000 employees by $1 an hour as the holiday season approaches. Please join me three times each weekday for my updates from the Salem Radio Network, right here on this station. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Experience positive and encouraging teaching from renowned pastor, Bible teacher, and best-selling author, Dr. David Jeremiah. Reserve your free tickets now to attend An Evening with David Jeremiah for an unforgettable night of enriching Bible study, uplifting fellowship, and powerful worship. Coming to Jacksonville at the ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena on Thursday, October 7th at 7 p.m. You won't want to miss this special one-night-only event. Get your free tickets at davidjeremiah.org/tour.
Tune in to AM 600 every Saturday morning for the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show, sponsored by Frontline Insurance. Find out where those fish are, what they're biting, and how to get them in the boat. Get the latest fishing info on tides, weather, and new products, and much more from the Sultan of the St. John's, Captain Vic Tyson. Start your weekend right. Tune in to the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show, Saturday mornings from 6 till 8, right here on AM 600 WBOB. Listen online or get the podcast at WBOB.com.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at WBOB.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
So coming up in the next hour, Cheryl RN? News media was all over this. This is a Dr. Feelgood type of a lady where she's out there signing, she's out there like vaccine exemptions, opt out for your kids. She didn't get arrested, but she may be investigated. So evidently she's been doing these at parks, but she's been advertising on Facebook. So the cops show up.
She's an entrepreneur.
Why don't you just put up a billboard for crying out loud if you want to get busted? But anyway, it's kind of an interesting story. We'll talk about this coming up in just a few moments. 904-831-0600. We always enjoy hearing from you. It's a Friday, beginning of a nice weekend taking place. It's Ed Roger, Talk Radio, WBOB.
AM 600 WBOB Jacksonville 101.1 FM W266 CX Fruit Cove, the conservative voice of Jacksonville.